I've got an exercise here, a little bit of audience participation is, first of all, I want to identify, and I want to do this for my own benefit to some extent, is understand kind of what are your priority areas of governance that are facing the hospital district. I've mentioned one, which I know about just because I've been involved, and that's the fire EMS consolidation. And maybe somebody could talk more about that or other issues that are affecting the hospital district over the next few years. Kind of, I'm sure each of you have different perspectives on what these priority areas might be, but I'd like to know what you think.
It's funny because as a board, we haven't really had a chance to talk about what these priorities are for us because we're so new. And, you know, something the previous board had talked about doing, but because of all the issues we're working on, was having a strategic plan, a 3 to 5 year plan, which is something that this group needs to do. And, you know, it's difficult to do when you can't violate the OPMA. But, yeah. So this, you know, actually would be one of our first opportunities to really discuss that. Certainly the fire and EMS integration is something that, is critical at this time.
Helping paramedicine to take off in a really good direction and help them with policies and procedures to be going, progressing well. That's been a new program that's taken off in great ways, and that needs also a little bit of steering to get it going. And then long-term care is a huge issue in our whole community, so we're looking at ways we can affect long-term care of the hospital, how people can be served better at home, homebound people.
That's sort of our aging
everywhere.
In place concept. Mm-hmm. We have an aging in place idea. So we did a feasibility study, and we're looking at how
a grant that we should know about any time.
Right.
So
yeah.
Mm-hmm. A planning grant. So that's exciting.
Guys.
Good list.
Yeah, promoting and restoring where necessary the public's trust in this entity and its ability to govern the hospital district and the EMS, especially in advance of an EMS levy in a couple of years.
When's your levy expire?
We got 2 years.
2022.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Good. Okay. Thank you for that. I appreciate that.
Hold on.
Okay, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
Well, I think that they covered it. You know, we lost the convalescent center here, so we really don't have long-term care, and so that's big on my list. The other one is, I think that we don't have much in the way of inexpensive medical care here on the island. We do have a hospital, but it's not inexpensive. In fact, it's gotten quite expensive. And so paramedicine, of course, is one way of addressing people in need. But generally, we need to find a way to provide some help to people, especially people who don't have the means. But generally, lowering the cost of medicine, of health here on the island. So I'd like to see us do that.
Yeah.
Trish, did you want to
talk? Yes. We have a new physician who's bought Burt Gossam's practice, so William House.
Let's see,
you have frozen up.
Rich. Oh, he's frozen up again.
You're frozen.
Oh, no. There he is.
Yeah. Keep moving,
right? So, finding out all of the work that he wants to do, serving people that might be underserved through Peace Island Medical Center, and who those people are, and assuring that our community can get the medical care it needs. That's one of my big things too, besides aging in place as well.
Yeah. Well, these are, as I said, these are big issues, and there's a lot of details that are going to go into solutions for each of them. That's where the staff can help you kind of work on the details. That's the management part of it. The governance part is identifying these issues and what kind of globally that you need to do to tackle them. Let's talk about how to be a team player on the Board of Fire. I'm never going to get me on this, am I? All right. How to be a team player on the Board of Commissioners. State your views, but state them diplomatically. One of the problems that I see, when I first came to town as a young lawyer, I first worked in Seattle for a couple of years, and I came to Bellingham, and the Bellingham City Council didn't have a great reputation back then, and I went to one of the meetings sent over by one of my partners to go hear her something, and I just remember sitting in the audience. It was my first meeting I think I ever went to, first public meeting, just listening to the council members kind of make personal attacks on each other. It was awkward and uncomfortable, and I wondered how this city council ever got anything done. And I could see that just from the first meeting that I went to, and the public can kind of sense that stuff too. So it's important, I think, to state your views, and everybody's got their views, their opinions on each of these issues that we've talked about here. But they need to be stated diplomatically and stick to the issues. Don't make things personal. The other thing is, not every issue is going to have the same degree of importance to you that it's going to have to a fellow commissioner of yours. And so let other commissioners know when you compromise or when you trust their judgment, and reciprocate from time to time. I just sense that really is a glue that holds the commission together, when commissioners know that you trust their judgment. And you're going to compromise maybe a position you might have because you agree with them. They make a good point. That's a good dynamic to have on a board of commissioners. Final, or another issue that's exceedingly important is respect and support the decisions of the board of commissioners. You may not always be on the winning side of a vote. The vote may be a 3-2 vote, and you may find yourself on the losing end of a vote. But once the vote is done, that's the commission's decision, and it deserves your support. I remember my partner once telling me, he said, you know how I've been the poor lawyer for however many years? He's like, I tell you how I did it. It's because the commission, I view the commission as having always made the right decision. Whether I might have disagreed with that before or not doesn't really matter. That's the commission's decision, and that's the decision that I'm going to support, and the executive director is going to support it too, right? And we all do that. We may have our own views as to how an issue ought to be decided, but at the end of the day, you are the ones who've been elected by the voters to make these hard decisions. And once those decisions are made, we need to support them. So if you go out and you undermine the board's decision by criticizing that decision that was made, criticizing it to your friends, your family, to the media, and undercutting what the board has done, that really leads to divisiveness. So I encourage you to support the decision. Again, you may strongly disagree with it, and there will be opportunities to raise that issue again, most likely, but in public session, but it is important to kind of support what the board officially does. And that's my last point there on that slide, which is to recognize that no decision is so important that you'd allow it to fracture the commission, right? It's just the ability of the commission to work effectively as a team is the most important in order to be able to get things done. So, there's that. And then next slide, damaging the team approach. Then what should you avoid as a commissioner? Freelancing. Some examples of freelancing are independent research, where a commissioner goes out and does some independent research on issues that have been delegated to, say, the chief. In a prior commission meeting, let's say you gave the chief some direction, go out, kind of research, come back with a recommendation. What I see sometimes happen is a commissioner will do their own research and then come back and want to kind of challenge the chief on that. And what that does is kind of undermines the authority that you've given to your manager, your chief in this case, to go out and investigate the issue and make a recommendation. And now one commissioner thinks they have superior knowledge to the other commissioners. I think that's a bad thing to do. Interacting with agencies regarding a potential interlocal agreement, Matt and I have a situation, have seen situations where a commissioner will kind of take the initiative and go out without telling the rest of the board and talk to the other agency and try and kind of move things along. That's not the role of an individual commissioner. You go back to what I said before, you act as a board. You need to have the board's authority to do that. Speaking with the union out of turn, one commissioner going to the union president and talking about matters of union business. That's divisive to the board. It doesn't allow the board to speak with one voice, and it's just not good to the cohesiveness. So, again, I think that these are things that should be avoided by individual commissioners. It's also frustrating for staff when because what it ends up doing is kind of intruding upon the duties that you've given to your senior staff. And like with the union business, for instance, you give senior staff the ability, the authority to work on union matters, and when you do that kind of outside the chain, then it just undercuts them. And I've seen a situation where chiefs have gotten so frustrated with that, they decide to leave. Right, so it can reach kind of a crescendo. Next slide, meeting offline and making decisions. We've talked about that in the open meetings part of this. That is not first of all, it violates the law. Secondly, it's not a good practice in the first place. You want to be transparent. I can sense that this board is very concerned about maintaining transparency and informing the public of what it's doing and what its intentions are. That's going to be a recipe for success for this board. Attending a meeting unprepared, we talked about that. Divisive communication practices. So, all right, let's move on to the next slide. effective commission meeting tips. I think it's important to kind of establish the tone for a meeting. This is an official government meeting. It means beginning on time. That means people are arrive on time, ready to begin the meeting. You may have a Pledge of Allegiance. A lot of districts like to do that just to kind of add an air of formality to it. It's not required, but I kind of like that. And it reminds the audience members that this is an official government meeting. Maybe reminding audience members to turn off their cell phones because that's disrespectful to the proceedings. Agenda items. One of the things you can do kind of speed up your meetings is to have a consent agenda. Do you do that already? You have a consent agenda. So items that are that probably aren't going to require any kind of debate go on there so you can move through that easy portion of the agenda and get to the more meatier things. Of course, any commissioner who wants to can pull an item from that consent agenda so that it can be discussed, but that should facilitate the meeting. Use work sessions as required to provide background information before you actually make a decision. So some agencies actually schedule work sessions on a regular basis, once a month or something like that, but you can use them on an as-needed basis. Just to have staff do a workup for you on a particular issue, give you the information that you need so that when you do have that come up for a vote, you've been fully informed, you've had plenty of time to consider it, and to make a decision. And then just in terms of kind of moving it along, I always like to see that the motion is read in advance. If you've got an agenda, you get your action items, what's the motion, followed by discussion, and sticking to the agenda. Those are things that kind of help the meeting run smoothly and efficiently. some other meeting tips. Limit the board discussion to the agenda items that are currently being discussed and not getting off topic. I find it useful to have an agenda item as a report from the local, but that is a way for the local to speak directly to the commission. You may decide otherwise. This is a kind of a personal decision for each agency, but I found it to be helpful, and I feel that the union feels that it gives them some real voice and ability to talk to the commission. Public comment, I think we've talked enough about that already, and I think that, you utilize that appropriately. So what then is the chair's role of the commission? The chair, of course, is the one that governs the meetings. And that means trying to elicit an open discussion and drawing out opinions from those who may be, you know, kind of more vocal on the board, as well as those that may be more reticent. The idea here in any discussion is it possible to try and reach consensus on an issue? That's the best kind of outcome, but it's not always possible. The chair also has kind of a harder job than the rest of the commission, because the chair also wants to participate in the discussion, but it's incumbent upon the chair to ensure that each commissioner has their time, that they have the ability to say what they want to say on a given issue. The chair is also the principal contact, as I mentioned before, and should be the one person that is charged with the responsibility, meeting regularly with the chief and the superintendent in order to set the agendas, to decide what should go on the consent agenda, to decide if there's really something to come before the board, if there's a decision to be made or not, to kind of pare down the agenda if it's overly aggressive so that you stick to, so you have adequate time to discuss the important issues, that kind of thing. Building an effective commission meeting toolbox. Again, I think treating each other with respect is going to go a long way and really build a team approach. The chair has to protect the commissioners and the staff from personalized comments. Those comments can come from the public, unexpected comments during the public comment period, as well as sometimes from other commissioners or even staff that are allowed to speak in a meeting. It's important to avoid those, because that really leads to divisiveness and is not going to lead to a good commission meeting. The other thing that I mentioned earlier, just highlight here again, is staff wants to do a good job. To do that, they need to understand what the commission needs to make an effective decision. So avoiding pop quizzes is important. Because when the public sees that the staff doesn't know the answer to a question, what is the sense that they get? Gosh, you know, the staff hasn't really done a good job of preparing the commission. That may not be true. Staff may not have known what kind of questions the commission had. So if you do that preparatory work in advance, your meetings look a lot more effective. Grandstanding, avoid that. Right. This is an opportunity to speak about issues, not to grandstand and to act as though you may know more or that somebody else doesn't have a good understanding of an issue. Again, trying to seek a balance between consensus and dissension is one of the goals here. Budget-based governance. I think, as I said before, that your budget is your opportunity to see everything in perspective at one time in the year, and to really focus on, it forces you to look forward to next year. What are we going to tackle next year? What projects do we have? How do we want to spend our money? And you can only do that with the perspective of everything else that you're spending money on at that one time of the year. You can really create accountability with the budget, because what you do is, if it's in the budget, it should be an easy discussion when it comes up to actually approve the action next year. It's in the budget. It should be afforded a presumption that you're going forward with it. You've already approved that. But if it's outside the budget, then there ought to be a solid explanation or some reason why it ought to be approved, since it wasn't approved in context with everything else that you had to discuss. Role of the staff at public meetings. Staff performs an important role. First of all, they oftentimes will introduce or provide the background for an agenda item and offer explanations. What can staff be expected to know? Well, clearly the items on the agenda. But if you start asking questions about other items, they may not be able to answer those issues or those questions that you have. So again, a well-informed staff, letting them know what is going to come up is going to be helpful to running a good meeting. What is the role of staff at the meetings? What should be off limits? Again, the personal critiques for them, they're subject to the same kind of rules that the commission is. They're not going to make personal critiques. How should staff respond when they don't know the answer to a question? Well, if they don't know an answer, and this happens to us as attorneys from time to time, is we get asked something that just comes out of the blue, we didn't anticipate, we haven't thought about it, it'll be, I'll get you a complete answer. Or, in some cases, it may be we need to schedule a work session for that, because that's more than just me giving you a little bit of information at the next meeting. We need a study session for that. So, again, preparation, I think, is important. Let's talk about the interface between governance and management. So your manager, again, I use this term to just kind of cover your two senior employees, the chief and the superintendent. They're the paid employees of the agency. They're exempt from overtime, and hard work has its limits. They also act as the contact between the employees that they supervise or that are below them and the commission. All right. They support the commission's decisions. They are very interested in helping the agency move forward, and the only way that the agency can move forward is by implementing what the commission has decided at the meetings. They're going to support the culture of the commission, no matter what that culture is. If you set a positive culture, that's going to trickle down and going to be impactful on the rest of your staff. Your senior staff are an information source to the Board of Commissioners. Again, you want honest brokers of information. They will keep your confidence, which means that when you discuss something in executive session, they're going to have the same degree of protectiveness of that information as you are. They're not going to speak out of school. That means that even though personally they may think that a different approach should be made in a certain case, if the commission has made the decision through adopting a motion or a resolution, they're going to follow that. Your manager, in this case the chief, because he's the one that's dealing with the union employees, has a tough job because he's dealing with union employees who may have criticisms and complaints about how the commission is governing the district. He and the superintendent have to manage the public. Public may have criticisms. They have kind of a tough job, but they are going to support the board and as I said, not speak out of school. They're not going to undermine the board. Understanding the manager. The manager is really where the commission manages. So there ought to be plenty of time for input by the chief or by the superintendent, as the case may be. But sometimes the commission decides that they want to go a different direction. They may not accept the manager's recommendation. In that case, the manager needs to march off smartly after they had a full and fair opportunity for input. And I've had a situation before where the chief is, usually a fire chief will call me afterwards and say, I'm, you know, kind of distressed because the commission decided to go a different direction than what the recommendation was. And my answer always is, look, your job is to implement what the commission wants here. You need to just, I mean, this is part of the job. It really is. You gotta have some thick skin to be senior staff in this organization, in an organization, because you're not always able to have the commission follow what recommendations you may make. But that's just part of it. So, march off smartly. Formal evaluations. This is an important item that's very tough for the commission to do. It's tough to get around to it. It's always easy to kind of put it off a little bit further, and that is to evaluate your senior staff. They want to know how they're doing. They want to know if there's room for improvement and what they should be doing better or how they can better serve the commission. The most frequent comment that I hear by the commissioners is, well, he or she, they're doing a great job. It'd be a waste of time to do an evaluation. But from the manager's standpoint, they want to know. It's not good enough to not hear criticism on a daily basis. They want to know how they're doing, how they could do better. So do evaluations. I think that is, it really does bring the team together. We do evaluations routinely every year. We do evaluations for our attorneys. We do them for our legal assistants every year. We do them at the same time. And even though it's awkward and it's hard to do, I think that it really does kind of refocus everybody on, areas of improvement, things that you're doing well, what do you like, what you don't like. It's really important to do that. So pick a time, and I say do those annually if you can. So you've heard me talk about the political bank account. The political bank account really is what the positive impression that your citizens have about the district. You can preserve your political capital. You use your political capital for such things as, that go back to the voters for approval, such as bonding for capital facilities projects, levy measures. Your EMS levy will expire. You'll want to have good bank of political capital in order to get support for your EMS levy. So it's really the benefit of the doubt that the public gives you that they don't have to be there at every meeting. They don't have to scrutinize your work. You've done a good job. You've been transparent. They give you the benefit of the doubt, and they support you in when you go to the voters for a particular issue. They support you in that. You can squander political capital in a variety of ways, and some of the most common ones are when you have meetings.
Okay, it's happening again. Hold on.
Oh. Or bad commissioner. Commissioner Baldwin.
We just lost you.
You were frozen too there. That was
that's how you looked.
Yeah.
Am I back?
You're back. You could just start again from the top on political capital.
On political capital?
Yeah,
so there are some things that you can do that kind of squander that political capital. And I'll give you some examples. Poorly run commission meetings. The public comes to a meeting, they see that the commission meeting is not run well, that commissioners are not well prepared, or that there's bickering between commissioners on personal issues. That's not going to look well to the public. Bad commissioner acts. Things like sexual harassment, or sexual harassment allegations, or an investigation into a harassment claim. That will give the public a negative impression. Violation of your Public Records Act or Open Public Meetings Act. That bad employment practices that lead to costly settlements or lawsuits. Not responding to Public Records Act Public Records requests in a timely manner, so bad customer service, we talked about that before, or misusing district resources, things like gifting the public funds, getting an audit finding on something, those things will draw down your political capital. Some of the key points here that I just wanted to emphasize is that a commission, which understands its governance role, will perform that role well. If you understand that your role is different than the management role, you'll do that well. There's no single decision or issue that's worth destroying the commission's effectiveness. So even though it may be that you're on the losing side of an argument from time to time, the vote goes the other way, that decision is not worth breaking up the commission or causing it to be divided. Try on a continuing basis to evaluate your culture. We do this internally here. We've kind of learned our lesson. And because of that, we talk about culture. Matt probably would agree with me on this, that we talk about culture way too much. We probably go the other way, but I think it's a good thing because we're constantly reevaluating and we're looking at where we're going off the rails a little bit, right? And we do, and it's if you do that, then it's just minor adjustments to the ship rather than a major adjustment. Manage the manager, but not the district. You, again, if you understand management versus governance and what that is, your management is limited to just managing your senior staff and then preserving your political capital. So that's all I have on that. If there's questions, I'm happy, or different points of view or anything that you'd like to add, now's the time.
I have concerns about political capital and the reputation of this board, and coming out of what we just came out of with the previous board and the dissent there and public perception. And so, you know, I'm excited to work with this new team, but I, you know, do you have a sense of or past experiences where you've seen boards sort of rebuilding that public trust and ways that they've done that?
Yeah, I absolutely do, and I've seen this.
Wait, you cut out again. You've seen districts what? Sorry.
I've seen some districts kind of reach the bottom where they didn't have much in the way of public trust,
yeah. And
where you know, they really couldn't get public support for what they wanted to do, and it really was in large part attributable to errors on behalf of the commission, mm-hmm. I think. Mm-hmm. So what you can do there, this can be turned around. It's you know you're not out of luck. It's good that you have a new composition of the board, right? It's a new day. The public is going to expect some changes. Good community outreach with the public and making sure that they know that they are welcome at meetings, that you are soliciting their input, that you want to hear what they have to say, that you are, you know, you want to be responsive to the public, and you want to hear what their issues are so that you can address those. I think that's one thing. The other way you can do community outreach is you can send out informational materials. And I don't know if you've done that in the past, but regular mailings could go on a quarterly basis to just tell the public what you're doing, kind of the issues that you're facing, and how you're planning to address those. You can always bring in someone like, you know, who has some expertise. There are consultants who you know, make a living on this kind of stuff, on how to interact with the public and how to, you know, get levy measures passed and that kind of thing. But I think that overall, word gets around. And you've got a community here where I've never lived on the island, I've never lived on an island before, but I know that word spreads quite rapidly. And you have people who come to your meetings, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, word spreads, but it's not always accurate, and that's sort of the problem. And often things get reported in the media, you know, especially related to like the CID, that it isn't a comprehensive reporting, and it isn't actually helpful to us.
So you have your website,
yeah.
And you also have the ability to send out mailers, and you have the ability to have a public forum, mm-hmm. where you can just say, come meet the commissioners. Mm-hmm. We've got a new board of commissioners. Come meet them and ask your questions. It's a matter of showing openness and transparency to the public and a willingness to engage them that I think can really help you in terms of rebuilding your the district's political capital. Those are just some of the things you might want to consider.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Does anybody else have anything they want to add? Anyone? No?
I think it's been really helpful. I've gotten a lot out of this. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank likewise. You.
Okay.
All right.
Sorry you couldn't be here, but thank you so much.
Yeah. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Thanks, Rick.
Bye.
Okay.
Was he originally going to come in person?
He was going to fly, but the weather was so yucky that he did not. So, yeah.
Thank you, Richard.
Okay. Oh.
What are you going to do for this one, Nathan? What do you think? Maybe a two?
No, I'm kidding.
That sounds about right. That sounds about right. Yeah. A lot better than the one.
Yeah, did we want to
adjourn
somewhere? Adjourn the special.
Oh, do we need to
adjourn?
Okay, I adjourn this meeting. All in favor? Aye.